Now, almost 3 years to the day that traffic slowed to a crawl in Fort Lee, New Jersey, a federal judge today heard arguments from attorneys in the George Washington Bridge lane closing case on what evidence they want to keep in or out of the upcoming trial. Let's get a sense of the proceedings with Matt Katz, WNYC reporter and author of the book, American Governor, Chris Christie's Bridge to Redemption. Matt, welcome back to Newsworks tonight.
Thanks very much, Dave.
It's Bridget Kelly and Bill Baroni who were charged, but it's a blockbuster trial because of what roads to redemption or ruin lead to Chris Christie. We'll get to that. Briefly review the charges in the case.
Sure. Bill Baroni and Bridget Kelly are charged with closing these lanes to the George Washington Bridge, the busiest bridge in the world, in order to retaliate against the mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey, whose town is at the foot of the bridge, to trigger this traffic jam. And they're retaliating against him because he didn't endorse Christie for his reelection in 2013.
And the timing was apparently intentional to coincide with, I believe, Jewish holidays and 9/11.
Right. Federal prosecutors have said that this was intended to maximize pain in Fort Lee because it started on September 9th, 2013, this five-day traffic jam. It was five mornings in a row, and it was intentionally started for the first day of school, and also that week was Yom Kippur, Jewish holiday, and anniversary of 9/11. George Washington Bridge, of course, has been in the past the terrorist target, and that was the part of their intention to maximize the pain, if you believe what federal prosecutors have said. And they have a cooperating witness in this upcoming trial, David Wildstein, who was the sort of political operative installed by Christie at the Port Authority, and he worked for Bill Baroni at the Port Authority. The other defendant, Bridget Kelly, worked for Christie in the governor's office.
Opening arguments, I believe, a week from Monday. But before that, the business of selecting a jury gets underway tomorrow. Describe that process for this level of case.
Yeah, there's an extensive questionnaire that these jurors have to fill out. I mean, how do you pick a jury with such a high-profile case involving such a well-known political figure in the state of New Jersey? It's going to be a challenge for both prosecutors and defense attorneys. This is going to be a multi-day process to figure out the 11 jurors and the four alternates that will serve. You need to find people also that are willing and able to spend 6 weeks of their life on this. They expect the trial to go 6 weeks, 5 days a week, and you need people that don't have preordained opinions about what went down 3 years ago this week at the George Washington Bridge. And also, you don't want people that have overly strong opinions about the governor himself. And that could be difficult, too, considering he's been around running the state of New Jersey for 7 years. So we'll see what they come up with.
4 months after Bridgegate, Christie said that he unequivocally had no knowledge of, did not approve, and did not authorize plans to close the toll lanes, claiming that he learned about it through a newspaper account. In the interim, has there been any equivocation on the part of the governor?
No, there hasn't. But we have seen new evidence that would make one doubt that the governor hasn't told us the full story, particularly about what happened between the 3.5 months from the time the lanes closed and the time we found out what really went down. So during those 3-4 months, the reason for this mysterious 5-day traffic jam in Fort Lee was that there was a traffic study. The Port Authority was conducting a traffic study, and that's why they closed the lanes. The governor stood by this explanation until January of 2014, when we got a copy of an email that his deputy chief of staff had sent that said, time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee. And that's when this whole case exploded. Now, what's curious about new evidence that has come out in recent months is that is what went down on in those 3-4 months in terms of the cover-up. During a press conference in December of 2013, during this period when the governor is saying, oh, it's just a traffic study, he says to the reporters assembled before him in Trenton, I was there, he said, I've spoken to everybody on my staff and no one knows anything about this. It's as far as we know, it's just a traffic study. There's nothing to see here.
As categorical as that?
As categorical as that. As he's saying that, one of his aides, Christina Rena, sent an email to another aide saying the governor is flat out lying right now. Are you listening to this? The governor is flat out lying. This is a brand new email we just got in the last few weeks. It was released by one of the defense attorneys in the Bridgegate trial. It is going to be a centerpiece, I'm sure, of the trial because it indicates that other people knew about this scheme and maybe the governor himself. So that is a very intriguing bit of evidence. We've also learned another piece of information that conflicts with what the governor's initial explanation was. He said that he turned over his email and his devices, his cell phones, to the federal prosecutors and the lawyers and whoever wanted them. We have learned now that is not the case. He actually had a personal email account that he used for government business that came from Chris and Mary Pat Christie. It was a joint account with him and his wife, but he used it for government business. That was not given over to federal prosecutors. We do not know if the governor might have corresponded about this issue on that email account. We also found out that he had a cell phone, a personal cell phone, that he never turned over to federal authorities. He says he gave everything to his lawyers. We thought that meant his Bridgegate lawyers. In fact, we only recently learned he gave that cell phone to a personal attorney that none of us had any idea existed. So we still to this day don't know the whereabouts of that cell phone. We don't know if it's in his personal lawyer's drawer, office drawer somewhere. We don't know if it's at the bottom of the Hudson River. We don't know if it's in the governor's pocket. We don't know if it was destroyed by a hammer, if you're following the latest in Hillary Clinton news. So that is another intriguing bit of evidence that could potentially come up at this trial. We'll see. And we might see testimony from the governor himself. That's not beyond the realm of possibility.
Matt, today does not mark the only court matter pertaining to Governor Chris Christie. Explain.
That's right. Today, a federal appellate court ruled that a list of unindicted co-conspirators in the Bridgegate case, these are people that the federal government believes were involved in the scheme but were not charged. There was a list of these people, and media organizations, including ours, had sued to try to see this list. We're very curious who else might have been involved. We won, but there was an immediate appeal from one of those co-conspirators who went by the name John Doe, not his real name, but he appealed and said that this was an infringement on his privacy rights and also his reputation. So a federal court, federal appellate court, took this case, and over the last 2.5 months or so, they decided not to release the list. They made that decision today. They released that decision today, so we will not know as of now who the unindicted co-conspirators are in the Bridgegate matter, but the judges said that this information could very well come up in the trial that's coming up this month. So we may very well ultimately find out at least some of these names, but we're not going to get the full list from the court.
Was there a sense that this was a list of two or three or perhaps dozens of individuals?
The sense is that it's somewhere in between that. More than two or three, but I don't think it's as long as dozens, no.
Was there a sense that Chris Christie was on the list?
There was not. There's been talk that there's a second list to make things even more complicated. And there have been allegations that he's on the second list. And this second list are people who knew about the scheme but did not participate in it.
So don't rise to the level of unindicted co-conspirator.
Exactly right. They're kind of people that knew what was going on but didn't get their hands dirty.
Your book came out in January. Christie suspended his candidacy the following month. This trial gets underway and will likely end before the calendar year. When's your next book coming out?
Well, if Donald Trump becomes president and Chris Christie is named his attorney general,
you'll be plenty busy.
I'll be plenty busy. And I imagine Chris Christie as U.S. attorney general will provide enough fodder for a second book.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Dave.
WNYC reporter Matt Katz, author of the book entitled American Governor, Chris Christie's Bridge to Redemption.